Here it comes. The brand new Student Voices for Peace. Rise Up Radio.
Welcome to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 in New York City, where the next generation of prophets, poets, priests, poets, pagans, artists, orators, and heretics join the Pacifica community. Rise Up Radio, formerly Student Voices for Peace, is a collective radio show by youth activists about youth activism, organizing, and culture as resistance.
Today we're joined by Darren from Ever Be Bad Records, Dee from New Jersey Indie Media, Rachel Litchenfield to talk about the case of Alex Ash, a youth activist from New Jersey, who has been kept in a reform school against his will for almost a year now, based upon being diagnosed as having oppositional defiance disorder. We will then be joined in the studio by Hassan Salam, Jersey-based radical hip-hop artist, whose track we've been playing on the show during the past few weeks.
We also have members from the Student Liberation Action Movement here to tell you about the coming battle on Monday. And you just heard another headline by Give Us Barabbas.
Welcome to today's show. I'm Mary. I'm today's host. No, it's on there. Okay, and I'm joined by...
Steven.
And...
Slab.
Alex Ash probably never thought he'd be forced by police, private security, his parents, and the weight of the law to leave his choice of studies for a Mormon boot camp. But on August 10, 2002, that's exactly what happened. For almost a year, Alex has been detained at a reform camp in Utah under the pretense of having oppositional defiance disorder. Today we're joined by Darren from Everval Records, Dee from New Jersey Indie Media, to talk about his situation. So, hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm good.
So, what's the deal with this? This sounds like a really screwed up situation. How did this happen? Why did this happen?
Why did this happen? Basically, Alex is an anarchist. He's 16 years old, and his parents pretty much have complete control over what he does until he turns 18. Him being an anarchist and very outspoken, He was studying at a school in Vermont called the Institute for Social Ecology, and that's where he was taken away by juvenile transport officers after he expressed very radical viewpoints.
Yeah, I had a lot of experience just hanging out with Alex, and he was a person who was really, you know, a vibrant person in activism and whatnot. But his vibrancy wasn't... I know a lot of times people think vibrancy is interpreted as zealousness or extremism, but it wasn't that at all. He was just young. And he's somebody who was really excited about what he was doing. He was excited about political activism. So he, you know, I know that a lot of times his parents disagreed with his activism. So I know that early on in high school, he was diagnosed with something called oppositional defiance disorder.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
Yeah. Well, the name itself kind of sums it up and does and ought to, like, give you that reaction of, like, what the, you know. I'm not, like, some psychologist or anything, so, but it does call actively defying, refusing to comply with rules, losing your temper and academic impairment as disorders, clinical disorders, which thereby makes them subject to treatment.
But by that definition, are we all disordered here in this room now?
Probably. But the difference is we're not 16. And that gives parents the legal authority to do what they want. So I think that's basically what Alex is a victim of.
I was checking out the website of a Turnabout Stillwater who was being held, and they have this like 5-tiered system where like you get like more, I guess, privileges, and like a part of like the first tier was to advance past, you had to show deference to authority. I mean, it seems like pretty obvious like to the whole gist of the program.
Yeah, I saw that site too. I think at the third or fourth level, you have to have some kind of like submit your will to God. There was something really ridiculous like that. And the program seems like they try to hypnotize kids into being a certain way and always being that way.
Yeah, he's made a lot of efforts to contact people on the outside. I know, like, he's made written letters to me. Big portions of it are scratched out, and the people there are filtering what gets out. And at the same time, they're filtering what gets in. So a lot of the letters that we send to him are either edited or just completely thrown away. I'm not somebody who's like an expert in psychiatry, but just from my personal experience when I was going to high school, I've never heard of stuff like this. This is just beyond me. It seems like a new contemporary phenomenon to just diagnose kids who, if a parent disagrees with them, diagnose them with something that could be a clinical disorder and then forcibly do something to them.
Do you have any idea of, like, what his conditions are like? Has he written anything in the past few months? Do you have any idea of, like, how he's doing?
He's made references to not being allowed outside. He wrote for the past 65 days at one point. I think he's also... I'm not sure about this, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't ever know what time or date it is. None of his letters are ever timed or dated, and he sort of, like, he makes it a point, like, I'm really confused about it. Like, eerie aspects of time, that's the word he uses.
The one thing I saw from him, I believe he used the phrase psychological fascism. I mean, that seems like a pretty harsh indictment of like, the conditions.
Yeah, he's in the stuff that he's written, I would assume that this situation would do this to anybody, but he's had a lot of introspection time. So you could see that in his letters. He writes stuff about just things he's been thinking about, how what he's going through relates to the bigger world, particularly psychology and psychiatry. I mean, I'm assuming this situation has opened him up to this world in a big way, forcibly, unfortunately.
What legal rights does Alex have as a minor? I mean, can he refuse treatment and all this stuff going on with him?
That's a really good question. I've been told by some people that he doesn't have many rights at all, and at least until he's 18, legal rights.
But I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. That would be a really good question to answer, though, to get answered.
How about his treatment? Would that consist of him taking drugs? Are they going to drug him up?
By the looks of what he's written, it seems like he's been drugged pretty well. And the way he presents his writing. But I'm really not sure about that either.
If you go to Turnabout Stillwater's webpage, they mention that. But as far as, like, whether it's something that's particular to Alex, whether it's happening to him, we don't know for certain. I mean, half of the stuff that he writes is censored, so very few things get out about what's actually happening.
Can you tell us about the day he was actually, like, taken away, like, how that happened? I mean...
I probably shouldn't get too personal about his family going to Vermont, but he was basically he was sleeping. It was about 8 a.m. and he was just kind of woken up and told that he was being sent to Utah. This was in Vermont. We were in Vermont at the ISC, Institute for Social Ecology. He tried kind of getting out of the situation, but if he were to escape in any way, that would have put the ISC in legal jeopardy. Therefore, he had to kind of submit himself to the people that were going to take him to the airport. He was really upset. He was crying, and the last thing he wanted to do was be taken away from his friends and from his relationships and from his ideas.
Do you have an address of how people can, like, send an email?
Yeah. You can write to Alex Ash. It's ASCH, Turnabout Stillwater, 2738 South 2000 East, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84109.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. And you can also see... Actually, never mind. It's Alex Ash, Turnabout Stillwater, 2738 South 2000 East, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84109.
Yeah, one of the things that has gotten out from things that he's written to us is that he would like books. There's no guarantee that these books would actually get to him because, once again, there seems to be this arbitrary process of making sure that certain... topics of debate don't come up with him or certain information doesn't get to him, but he's asked for books on radical ecology, on counterculture, on animal rights. This is sort of stuff that he was interested in before he got taken away.
In about 2 minutes, we're going to take some calls. So if you want to call in, the number is 212-209-2900. So if you want to call in and ask some questions or just have some feedback about the whole thing. Are there any efforts to sort of, like, get him free, or is there anything planned? Is anything like that possible?
Well, I'm part of Everval Records, which is, like, the worker collective that he used to be a part of, and we've felt it our job, and he sort of requested it of us too, to, like, just make people aware of what's going on, because it seems to me that this is something that is a uniquely contemporary thing that's been starting to happen, but at the same time, nobody really talks about this kind of Orwellian sort of way that education is moving towards. And so we've really have not looked into legal avenues or any other avenues as to what can be done to get Alex out of there. We were most concerned with just getting the issues out there, because as much as this is about Alex, this is actually happening a lot now. This isn't just Alex. This is happening to kids all over the place. And like I said, when I was going to school, I've never heard of anything like this. And it's only recently that, now that I'm older, that younger kids are saying, like, do you realize that this stuff is happening? And it's like, wow, this is really interesting. There's psychologists diagnosing kids with this. There's police stations in high school. There's cameras in the hallways. It's really... interesting environment kids are growing up in now.
It's insane. I mean, it's interesting that you said that these kids were asking for people to send them books. How many 16-year-olds out there want want to read books outside of school, let alone the books that they're making them read in school and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, one thing I can speak about, you know, in a non-expertise way is just the fact that I was friends with Alex. And, you know, I don't consider myself insane, so I could reasonably say he was a very sane and intelligent kid. Very intelligent kid. He really knew a lot, and he really made an effort to learn a lot. Yeah, he had troubles with his parents, but...
Who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. When you're 16, those things happen, you know? It's part of being young and trying to establish your identity.
Do we have any calls on the line, Errol? Okay, if you want to call in, the number's out, 212-209-2900. I mean, like, one of the things that I find, like most, like, shocking about this is, like, it's not like he was, like, out, like, you know, like getting arrested, like doing some sort of, like, you know, like, questionable activity. I mean, this is some kid who was, like, you know, like, going to school voluntarily, like, over the summer. I mean, it's just sort of screwy that you know, someone who actually is going out of the way to learn more is actually being penalized for that.
I think that's a really good point to bring up, because Alex has never had any legal run-ins. He's never committed acts of violence. He's never really... I don't really think he's done anything that would merit this sort of response. And the only things that he's been, I guess, prosecuted on are strictly, like, his political activism and his problems with relating to his parents.
Okay. B.I., you're on the air?
Actually, that was one of my first questions. Was this a result of an alternative to incarceration? Was that part of what this was? Because I know many cases where that's where this comes out, where juvenile centers have been tried a number of times. The kids go in and out, in and out, in and out. The parents get frustrated. And as an alternative to incarceration, the parents are convinced that this is an answer. Do you know if this was... a case of alternative?
No, as far as I know.
Judging from your question, you seem to be implying that was something that would happen. Was that Errol?
Go on.
Okay. Okay, B.A., you're on the air?
Oh, yeah. As usual, a fine program. Congratulations. I want to make a suggestion. There is one person on the station who has covered the subject regularly, and as a matter of fact, he has lawyers working on the situation. That's Dr. Gary Null. And I suggest you check out GaryNull.com, scroll down to psychiatric abuse.
I'll be sure to check that out. Thank you very much.
And also to give his office a call and tell him you want to get involved.
Thank you very much. We want to call the numbers 212-209-2900. Yeah, you're on the air.
Hi. Would you please repeat the name of that oppositional disorder that you mentioned before? That's an actual medical term, is it?
Yeah, it is. It's called oppositional defiance disorder.
Oppositional defiance disorder.
Mm-hmm. ODD for short.
Are there any similar diagnoses that are as amusing as that in the same vein?
I'm sure there are. I'm not aware of.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I was listening to you just now, and I was actually, what I wanted to say is that it's really surprising what's happening in America right now, and the fact that we even have the oppositional defiance disorder. It just seems that society, if anyone disagrees with it, seems to want to suppress people, and I just think that's really bad. But I just thought I'd phone and give my view.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
B.A., you're on the air. Guess you're not on the air.
Can
I just jump in real quick, because somebody talked about Gary Null and how he's trying to, he's one person who's trying to address this oppositional defiance disorder and this whole phenomenon. Since Ever Evolved, the Worker Collective has been really making an effort to get this case around. The response has just been, like, overwhelming. We get emails just constantly. And a lot of times it's mostly people who are trying to help and are trying to figure out exactly what can be done. So, you know, part of me wanting to be on this show is to hopefully find someone who can, you know, find ways to do something, anything. to figure out what's going on.
Okay. BA, are you on the air?
Yeah, hi. I tuned in a little late. Can you just go over again why, what his political views and what you feel, you know, in other words, the reasons why you think he has been treated in this way? You said, I think you said it was because of his political views and also his relationship with his parents. So can you go, if you don't mind, go over those two things again as to why you think this is being done to him and explain what, you know,
okay.
those two things?
When I was friends with Alex, most of what he did was centered around green issues,
mm-hmm.
Ecology issues, and animal rights issues. And he also was really involved in counterculture sort of music, like radical music. His relationship with his parents, I don't know if I'd want to get into that, just because it's not, I kind of don't want to invade personal issues. But I, just generally speaking, there were problems.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. What you're saying is it seems like from your vantage point, he's being institutionalized because of his political views and because of his rebelliousness, right? That's what you're basically, you're conveying that that's what you think it, the reason why he's being treated in this way.
I would say that it's because he's been diagnosed with oppositional defiance disorder, which, you know, sets that criteria that says if you question authority, defy authority, all those things, then, you know, you're disordered.
Uh huh. Oh, and he was diagnosed by a doctor with that?
Yeah, a high school psychologist, from what I know, at least what he told me.
Okay, because I never heard of that disorder before in my life, so that has to be something, you know, like you said, something that a high school psychologist would come up with, you know, to justify, some, you know, this kind of treatment. So you know, this is really an indictment of really the mental health system in this country is just really despicable, you know. And I have first hand knowledge of how disgusting that the mental health services are in this country, you know. But, you know, if you could give some info as far as being able to communicate with this person, I'd appreciate it. So, you know, for people that might want to contact this person. And thank you for this show. And you're doing a great job. And hopefully you have more shows like this.
Okay. This
thank
is
you.
Doug here in the studio. Thank you for your call. In addition to that information, I was wondering, Dee and Darren, if you could briefly mention some sources of information on, in general, the use of the pharmaceutical industry and psychiatry in general to, repress dissent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember seeing, there are a number of things that connect to this. I remember seeing an article a few weeks ago in the New York Times about the outsourcing of reform schools to Mexico, where the regulations were looser in terms of tactics that could be used to instill respect for authority. But this, you know, we've seen obviously a tremendous surge in prescription psychoactive drugs. Where have you gone to learn about this larger trend?
One site that I found really informative was the International Coalition for Drug Awareness. That's www.drugawareness.org. And that gave a decent description of what kinds of things involving prescription drugs in the pharmaceutical industry have gone wrong in the past. Another one's called ProzacSpotlight.org, and that's more focused on Prozac itself, but it also talks about the pharmaceutical industry.
Thank you, Dee and Darren, for coming down. Can you give the address once more, and perhaps if you have any contact info that you would like to share?
Oh, okay. It's Alex's address is Alex Ash, A-S-C-H, Turnabout Stillwater, That's Turnabout is one word and Stillwater is another. 2738 South 2000 East, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84109. And once again, they're screening stuff, so who knows? It's a kind of a, you know, a crapshot as to what we'll get to him and what we'll get out. But, you know, any attempt to contact him, I'm sure, on his end, just shows that to him that, you know, he is supported.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Radio on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, corporate free community sponsored radio. That was Capitalism Stole My Virginity by International Noise Conspiracy.